I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, for those of you who are program scrutinizers, if you've looked carefully at this morning's program on the front page, you know that today is the last Sunday after the Epiphany. What that means is that we are getting ready for a transition here in the church from the time of Epiphany, when Jesus was manifest to the world at large as the Savior, to the time of Lent, the 40 days of Lent that begin this Wednesday with Ash Wednesday services here at 7, 12, and 7:30. Lent has a somber tone and a reflective feel about it. And because of that, we aren't going to be saying alleluias all during Lent in any of our worship services, at least until the Easter Vigil, as the Easter season begins. Because the tradition of putting away the alleluia is a reminder that the Lenten season is different. It has a different tenor about it. A little bit more about that later. So let's look at the gospel appointed for the last Sunday of Epiphany. Always on the last Sunday of Epiphany, whether the lesson happens to come from Luke or Matthew or, as in today's case, Mark, the lesson is always pretty much the same. It's the story of the transfiguration of Jesus before his three most trusted disciples, Peter, James, and John. They go away to a mountaintop, and on this mountaintop, while Jesus is praying, his appearance changes, and he becomes surrounded by a brilliant light, and he's visited by two figures. One, Moses, who is the greatest lawgiver in Israel, and Elijah, whom we heard referred to in the first lesson this morning, the greatest of the Israeli prophets. And they appear and they converse with Jesus. And then there's a cloud that envelops the whole scene, and the disciples hear the voice of God telling them, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Well, what's the point of that story? What happens is that in that encounter, the disciples quite literally see Jesus in a new light. They begin to understand that Jesus has a different kind of connection to God and to their own Jewish religious tradition than they had previously recognized. They have some inkling as to why Jesus has begun talking about his own suffering and death. And at the heart level, the disciples have a life-shaking experience of the reality of the holy, the divine, the awesome presence of God. In one shining moment, Jesus' true identity is revealed to them. It isn't hidden behind the teachings and parables or confrontations with religious or political authorities, or even in the miraculous healings that he did. For one moment, everything is crystal clear. Everything. They have a glimpse of what God is really like. And there's a reason that we hear this story of the Transfiguration every year on the Sunday before Lent begins. And it's to remind us that there is a purpose to Lent where we need to seek situations where we too can experience and catch a glimpse of what God is like. At the very core of our being, all of us long to know God. Yet often God can seem absolutely remote and distant, beyond any knowing, Philosopher and theologian Blaise Pascal once observed, "Any religion that doesn't say God is hidden is not true." Lent is a time for us to intentionally seek out those situations and circumstances where we can possibly be touched by the presence of God. And while you can find God, or God can find you, in most any circumstance, the church is still a pretty good bet for finding ways and means for connecting with God at a deeper level. Here at All Souls during Lent, we have a tradition of delving into a significant topic of one kind or another, and seeing how that topic has implications for us in our own lives. Excuse me. We gather on Wednesday evenings in Lent for a simple soup supper, and then a program that includes small group discussion after a presentation. This year, the topic is titled, "We Cannot Walk Alone." And we'll be looking with love and care at how racism has influenced our lives as Christian people. Members of the parish will be sharing their own stories about how they have been affected by racism. This is an area where all of us have been impacted, and we need to discover how we as Christians can walk the road to mutual understanding, respect, and reconciliation. So that's one of the ways in which you might glimpse God in a new way during Lent. And for those of you who are new to Christianity or the Episcopal Church, or you'd just like a refresher course in the basics of the Christian faith, you can join the catechumenate class. This is another way of understanding yourself, the mystery of God, and Christianity more fully. There's details about this in today's blue sheet under the rather austere title of "Considering a Formal Association with the Church." I don't think the class will be nearly that stiff. Another thing you can do during Lent is to try and adopt a new habit. Not only try, but to do it. Do something you don't normally do. For those of you who don't read forward day by day, a little book of meditations, they're available in the narthex, and each day of the week has a meditation that can sometimes lead you off into paths and considerations that you had no idea that you were even interested in. So I'd urge you to consider that. Also, during Lent, we are going to be focusing on ways in which you can be in mission in one kind or another through the efforts of the Episcopal Relief and Development Organization of our church. And there are other ways. The important thing is to find a way to be spiritually intentional about your own growth and connection to God. And so one of the important lessons that we can learn about the Transfiguration and from the Transfiguration about our own lives is how important it is to leave your usual routine and change your business as usual attitude. If you're going to grow spiritually, it's important because spiritual growth doesn't often happen by accident. So it's important to be intentional, to set the stage for growth by an intentional decision to leave behind your old routines so that you can gain a new and enlightened perspective about you and God. The second lesson to be learned from the Transfiguration is the importance of being open. It doesn't matter how often you might come to church or how many spiritual books you might be reading or the prayers you might even be praying. If you're not really open to the presence of God, you're not going to encounter God. I have known people over the years who have had some profound spiritual experiences in their lives. Miracles, really. physical healings, restored relationships, personal transformations, all of which they in turn just shrug off as good luck or coincidence. Peter, James, and John could have dismissed what happened to them on that mountaintop as some kind of a hallucination brought on by eating bad lamb chops the night before. The bottom line is that if you're going to grow spiritually, you need to be open to the possibility of discovering how God's Spirit is at work in your life. A third lesson that we can learn from the Transfiguration story is the importance of new vision in our lives, in seeing life from a new God-given perspective. I was talking recently with a member of this parish who's in a small group, and he spoke of what a profound difference that group has made in his life. He said, "My small group has been so supportive of me and has helped me discover a new sense of the reality of Christ that I never knew, and especially the love that Christ has for me." This individual now has a new vision of how to live his life. In joining that small group, he left behind his usual routine. He opened himself to a new experience and gained a new vision of living that tells him that life can be more purposeful than it previously had been for him. Now this person's engaged in a ministry that he had never been involved with before. He's conscious of his calling as a disciple who reflects the love and care of Jesus Christ as he relates to others at work, at home, and everywhere he finds himself. That's the fourth lesson, I think, to be learned from the Transfiguration story. Jesus and his disciples did not stay on the mountain and bask in the radiance of their holy feelings and experiences. Their encounter with God was a preparation for being more fully engaged in the challenges of daily living. Dealing with heartache and disappointment, just common irritations, sorrows, setbacks, and even the joys and delights that impact your life are all seen differently once you've encountered the living reality of God. The Transfiguration, which literally was both a figurative and literal mountaintop experience, is not a call to escape into some sort of religious nirvana. An encounter with God changes your life precisely so that you can engage the events of your life each and every day with hope, optimism, and courage. Now, when I listen to a sermon, I always ask myself questions like, what am I supposed to take away from this sermon? How will my life be any different because I managed to stay awake through that 15 or 18 minutes? What am I meant to remember because of this sermon? So for this sermon, I'm going to give you a quick recap and then a wonderful mnemonic device that will help you remember these comments through Lent. I've mentioned the lessons that we can learn from the Transfiguration, and they are: leave behind your usual routine, open yourself to God's presence and power, visualize your life from a new God-given perspective, and engage more fully as a person who is a disciple of Jesus Christ. So if you remember the first word of each of those four concepts, you'll remember and live out the purposes of Lent. Those 4 points, in case you've already lost them, are: leave behind your usual everyday routine, open yourself to God's presence and power, visualize your life from a new God-given perspective, and engage more fully as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Leave, open, visualize, engage. Now, the really perceptive among you have already figured out that those words spell love. This Lent, be intentional about your spiritual life. Be changed. Leave, open, visualize, engage. This Lent, remember the importance of love and live out that love as a way of guiding your life and how you interact both with yourself and the world. And you will find that during this journey of Lent and beyond, life will change. Amen.